We trust his word and the word that came through from the courts of heaven, from the throne. And I'd like to share the fact that it was very encouraging to me when I heard some of the things that was said. Primarily because it reflected a lot of the things that I have been speaking about for the past 6 months. It was encouraging in that aspect. Where the world is heading, how things are right now, of course, it's not encouraging. Not at all. But I find encouragement knowing the fact that I belong to the Lord. And I have no doubt about that. I am encouraged that I know who I am in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is encouraging. And I want all of you here this evening and every one of you watching right now to be encouraged in knowing who you are in Christ. And if in case you don't know who you are in Christ, by all means, we can guide you in the right direction. We can guide you. We can counsel you. We can show you the way of salvation, what the Bible says, to where as though you can inherit the kingdom of God, the blessings that are for those who love our Lord, and everything else that is promised to every single one of us, from smallest to greatest. Amen?
Amen.
So, I have decided, until the Lord tells me otherwise, that I will, to the best of my abilities, equip the body of Christ, the church here, with as much weapon, with as much ammunition possible to fight what's coming ahead. Again, up until the Lord tells me otherwise. Because once in a while, the Lord does change things around. Things go a different direction than I had originally intended. Like, for example, this morning. But regardless, let's start with a quick word of prayer because I have a lot to get through. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you so much. And we exalt you, Lord. We will always exalt your holy name. I pray, Lord, that you will be glorified here this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for everyone who is participating, Lord, in this study, to have an open heart to receive what the Spirit is telling them deep inside, Lord. May they hear you, may they see you, and not me, Lord. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about a separate people this evening. Separated. I want to talk about separation. And I want to start out by just that topic. And this is where I'm going to start all of this. Did you know that God has always required that his people be separated for his sole purpose? For his demand. In every dispensation, God has required separation. God has required exclusiveness. God has required holiness and a separation. And this is implied over the course of hundreds of years, from the very beginning, as we're going to see this evening in the Old Testament, all the way over to AD, New Testament time now. There has always been the concept of separation and it still applies today. And this is what I want to elaborate on this evening. Separation. Let's look at God's design for separation in various different aspects of our lives. And as I go through the study this evening, as I show some pointers and as I make my point, I'm going to talk about different areas of separation that the Lord has intended for His church. The very first one is, I'm going to talk about family. A separate family. In the patriarchal age, the idea of separation was seen in that age around the time of Abraham, in the days of old, long ago. From right here, you see in the very beginning, Abraham separated from among his people. I want to bring your attention right now to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" This is where it begins. Right there. The Lord is saying, I need you to be excluded right now. I need you to come out of. Here we see that separation was the very first condition given to then Abram. It was the very first thing that he was supposed to do. Without that, nothing else could have happened. Now imagine what all Abram had to give up. Put yourself in his shoes right now. Loved ones, his home, his family, his friends. Abram was already of age when he left. He was somewhere around his mid-70s when the Lord told him, take off, let's go. The markets that he knew, the places where he would go and buy his favorite vegetables and fruits and sustainment. I mean, life as it is, language, all these things. To live the rest of his life in a tent. His whole life in a foreign country. Without any relatives, in a dangerous land where there is no government at all to watch out for him, if in case trouble came, to defend him, to protect him. I'd say that's where faith starts right there. He had it in him. That's faithfulness. That's obedience. That's obliging, if you ask me. Now, in between all of that, no matter what it was, yet, he stood ready to turn his back upon all these things and into the call of God. The Bible speaks about him in the New Testament, describing him as a man of faith. I want to bring your attention to Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. And it says, excuse me, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he received as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. There we go, folks. That just about summarizes all of that. He didn't know where he was going. He had no idea. But one thing alone separated him. One thing alone set him apart, made him exclusive. And that is, he knew whom he belonged to. He knew with whom he was going with. He knew who was with him. And the Lord honored him right there. Faith. So, moving on to speak on the topic of separation. A separate nation is what I want to talk about next. And I want to start out with the Mosaic Age. Our Lord God called the Jews out of Egypt, right? Why? The Bible explicitly says, let my people go that they may serve me, right? Some translation would say that they shall worship me or serve me for the worship of God. Separation was essential to their worship, for their religion was contrary to that of the Egyptians, had nothing to do with it. The Jews were formed into a separate nation in Mount Sinai. I want to bring to your attention right now 1 Kings 8:53. For you separated them from among all the people of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moses when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. Right there. A separate nation. They were to be separated for his own good, to stay pure, away from idolatry, as it was rampant in the land of Egypt. Their separation and holiness must be maintained. Their separation as people of God has to be maintained continuously. And you cannot live and dwell in a place that is going to ultimately influence your mind, have an influence on you continuously, always. No, we must be separated. Can I have 1 Kings 9? We're going to cover 6 through 9. Thank you. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, and worshiped them and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Ooh. Boy. You talk about calling out. I mean, you go and you do all these things, right? If you stop serving me, if you start serving all these gods from among the people that you dwell in, be careful. If you go through this town and you dwell there for a few months, don't get cut, hemmed up and all cut up in the mix and the mess that they got going on and whatnot. Don't be influenced. Don't be easily steered, all right? Maintain, stay steady, or else this is going to pop, 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 pop. That's right. Keep your distance. Pastor Paul gave a powerful preaching one time about keeping our distance. A lot of it came from the book of Proverbs. But regardless of the warning that they received, but They were rebellious, weren't they? They disobeyed, didn't they? They changed God's government over them, didn't they? And they served other gods, didn't they? Therefore, Israel was carried into Assyrian captivity during the reign of Hoshea in 722 BC, because they did just that, what they weren't supposed to do. Then over 100 years later, Judah was carried into Babylonian captivity, piece by piece. Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem and captured and conquered it during the reign of Jehoiakim in 606 BC. Now, while Israel was in exile in Assyria, the Assyrians imported into the land five different races to mingle and intermarry with the remnants of the land. This mixed race, with a mongrel religion, continued for centuries and constituted the Samaritans during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer separation. No longer God's people. Right there. Because of disobedience. And as for Judah, only upon its reformation did God allow them to re-inhabit Jerusalem. Only by then. The first return was led by Zerubbabel, which came 536 BC. And when he returned with 50,000 captives. Later to be followed by Ezra and Nehemiah. And 1,000 years had passed since the law was given that required them to be separate from the land that they were in, to be excluded, separated from all the trash and the garbage that was all around them. And surely, times had changed, and God had changed his mind, and it was a different time. It was 1,000 years later. That's things from the past. We're in a whole new century. Right? No. Not so at all. Not at all. At the exhortation of Ezra, they repented and promised to obey God. Right there. Can I have that, brother? Ezra 10, we're going to cover verses 10 through 12. And it says, then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore, make confessions to the Lord God of your fathers and do his will. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the pagan wives. Then all the assembly answered and said with a loud voice, yes, as you have said, we must do. Right there. Praise God. Right now, we're talking about a separate nation and the importance it is for us to be different from everybody else, different from the in thing, different from the garbage that's going around right now. All these laws are being changed, national laws that enables this to happen, and it's okay for that to happen, and it's excusable, it's acceptable, right? That's the term that's used. not acceptable from God's point of view. It doesn't matter when it is, doesn't matter what time it is, which day of the week it is not right. We are to be excluded, separated from what's all around us. And now I want to move forward and talk about a separate church, the Church of the Living God. Brother, can I please have 2 Corinthians 6:17? Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says our God, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Speaking to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth. The church. We're talking about now a separate church. And what is the church? The ecclesia of God. Ecclesia is the Latin word. What is it? Brother, can I please have now 1 Corinthians 1:2, please? To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified. There's your answer. What is the church? To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. There it is. We call upon the name of God, don't we? We are saints. We have been justified. We are righteous. We renew our mind every single day, don't we? Don't we?
Amen.
Pastor's calling out some people now. I won't ask, show of hands, who does not renew their mind every day? Because I'm going to be calling out some people now. But we are saints. This is the church. We are separated. We worship the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, that described in this verse. This is the ecclesia, the church of the living God. The very term church means the called out. The very term church, the called out, that separate one. The separated ones, the saints. This is what the church is called. But note one thing now on 1 Peter 2:9, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy, we just talked about this, a holy nation, his own special people. Another translation is peculiar. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. There we go, folks. Bam, bam. The church is a royal priesthood. Consider yourself royalty. Just don't let it get to your head. No pride, please. Keep the pride down. All right, we serve a king who is above all kings, all presidents. His word goes, who watches over us. We are royal. We belong to him. We are his children, and we serve our God. That makes you royal. Right there. A royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are separated from everything else. We are a peculiar people. You have no idea how many times I've stumbled across that word peculiar in the Bible. And it's like a zinger. It's a stunner. And I'm like twitching a little bit. And I'm like, oof, peculiar. That's a strong word. Why is that word right there? We are a peculiar people. And then I looked it up. This is what I found. Different from what is normal or expected. Pow. We are different from the norm. What is the norm? The norm trusts themselves, their own abilities. The norm goes to this college and that college and have this degree and that degree. That's the norm, right? Or expected. The norm is to accept this and accept that. That's the norm. And then another translation for peculiar is strange. You have no idea how many times me, my family, my parents growing up were called strange. Especially in Suriname. It almost got to the point where we got used to it. There goes those crazy Christians over there. They're talking all this crazy language. I can't understand what they're saying. It sounds Indian. They sound like they're from the bush. And they get the hollering and the kicking and the screaming. And we used to have, we used to congregate in a classroom. We rented, it was a school, it was a row this way, it was an L-shaped row. And it was all square rooms, right? Maybe half the size of this auditorium here. And there was a fence, so it was halfway up was wood, and then there was a flat plane, and then it would be, and then it was fence, like regular fence, all the way to the ceiling, to the header, and then the roof came down on both sides, so the wind would come through. There's no AC, all natural. If it rained hard, guess what? You're getting sprinkled, especially if you sit on the side. You better hope the rain don't come from that side. We felt that a couple times. But all open, third world, a very poor country. So when we're worshiping, when we're praising, when we're getting our shout on, when the Holy Spirit took over, it's visible, it's seen, people see it, and then they talk about you. Then they call you peculiar. They really call you peculiar. That's us. Yes. We're strange. We're strange folks, right? But we're different from what is normal. We are different from what is expected. We are spiritual people. Praise God. This is who we are, His church. God's people are to be separated. In what way, potentially, might be asking. First thing I'm going to say right now, which is very important, we ought to be separated in speech. Can I please have Titus chapter 2, verses 8? And it says, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. There we go. We're going to shut them down right there. Because nothing bad comes out of your mouth. Our speech is the very first thing. That also includes no gossip. There's no gossip, folks. None of that around here. Especially us here at BCFC. We do not like gossip. It does not go well with us. We nip it. We nip it right there in the root. Right away. No taking the Lord's name in vain. We don't do that. Not at all. We're going to respect it. And also, something else that potentially might not even think about, call Bible things by Bible names. Right? And now, here is a classic example of a people who disobeyed God, intermingled with the people of the land, with which they weren't supposed to, which ultimately had an effect on their language and how they spoke and the things that they spoke. What am I referring to? The language of Ashdod. As mentioned in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, we're going to cover verses 23 and 24. And it says this, in those days, I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah,
but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. Ooh.
That did not sit well with Nehemiah. Oh no. Okay, not only are you going to disobey orders when we strictly told you not to intermingle with the people of the land, right? None of this cross this and cross that. Not only now are you giving in to your pagan wives and their way of thinking and the way that they worship and their rituals, because the old term goes what? A happy life, a happy wife? Oh no, I haven't been married for too long. A happy wife, a happy life. That's what I meant to say, right? So now you're going to give in, all right? You're disobeying God, you're worshiping false gods, and now your children are talking this garbage to the point that they don't even speak the land of the Hebrew language. Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? And that didn't go too well with Nehemiah. Not at all. But now, I want to apply this to today's day and age, as far as our speech is concerned. As far as now, let's bring it now to the house of God, right now. You know, I'm speaking about a certain type of mentality right now, a certain behavior, which ultimately translated to the language of some kids right now, a result of sin. I'll share something with you right now that I saw a while ago that very much disturbed me. There has been several times, a lot of you might know Pastor Paul, who was a former pastor of this church. There has been several times when after service, and I was right there next to him, people would approach him, mainly visitors. But visitors who visited often, but are not members. And they would come in and say, "Hey, Paul, how you doing, Paul?" And I would be distraught. I said, "What did you say?" I didn't actually say that to these people because I have to be an example. But I'm here thinking, where is the respect in your speech? Where is the reverence? Do you know who you are addressing right now? Is he your buddy? Do you guys go way back? Or what? And man, that bothered me. Ooh, that just ate away at me. "Hey, Paul, how you doing, Paul?" And I told my dad that one time. I was like, "How dare they? Are you going to let that happen? Like, why don't you say?" And he's like, "It's okay, son. It's all right." No, and he shared certain things with me and counseled me and all of that. I was all right. And I just left it alone. And I held on to that. To now, I am the pastor of this church. And a lot of people have known me for years. And they always call me Brother Teddy. "Hey, brother. How you doing, Brother Teddy?" Right? Then I was ordained an elder. Then half of the people will call me Elder Teddy. And other people call me Brother Teddy. But I never really cared about any of that. And then I became a pastor. And then I noticed that a lot of people, out of habit, will still call me Brother Teddy. And then they would correct themselves and say, "Pastor Teddy, well, thank you. I appreciate that because that is my title," right? And that's okay. But to this day, there are still people who call me Brother Ted. "How you doing, Brother Ted?" And I remember the words that my father told me. I said, "How you doing, sister? Can I shake your hand? Can I give you a hug?" And that's okay. But just recently, just this weekend, I received an email from a congregant here in the church that said, "Ted." And then he started his short paragraph and signed, "God bless you." Name of the person that I'm not going to call out. Ted. Not even Teddy. Let's apply our language now to today's day and age. Pastor, if in case you did not know, is a biblical term. And it must be applied biblically. Now, I am not searching any titles. I don't hunt for titles. Just as the former pastor from this church never wanted anybody to call him doctor, even though he had a doctorate degree in theology. He refused to be called doctor. And that's commendable. And no one here is seeking titles. But there is such a term as pastor that is in the Bible. And it must be applied to our speech in biblical sense. And some brethren might get all bent out of shape for potentially not calling me a pastor, which has happened. When I called out an individual, I said, "Brother, you just came off the pulpit and you introduced me as Brother Ted." Right? They get all bent out of shape about that. But yet, they still call this building a church. A church is a biblical term, isn't it? So why don't they call this building? Call it a building. No, they're not going to call it a building. They're going to call it a church. But they can't call the pastor that runs the church pastor. They call him brother. Or they just call him Ted. See? I want to open your eyes to the speech and how we speak. And how we are supposed to apply biblical terms in a biblical way. When we slip into calling worldly things Bible names, and when we start confusing Bible terms, we cloud the issue and we cloud the truth. And as going back to the study that we just did right now in Nehemiah, this is what he did to all those folks that didn't talk right. You want to see what he did to the folks that wasn't speaking right? I want to have now verses 25, please, brother. "So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, 'You shall not give your daughters as wives to the sons, to their sons, nor their daughters to your sons for yourselves.'" What am I saying here? First, I'm saying that Nehemiah didn't play that. He didn't play that. He wasn't having it. He cussed them out. Then he slapped them around a little bit. With a big hand. And if that wasn't enough, he dragged them by the hair. Maybe half a mile. No, not maybe the half a mile. Pulled their hair. Psh, 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 psh. And then insulted them. And then made them swear by God that they won't do that. "Your kids ain't talking right. Don't do that again. Don't give your daughters to them. And don't take their daughters as your son. Or someone come across your face with a big hand." Yeah. Maybe that's what needs to be done around here. No. "Consider yourself blessed that my middle name is not Nehemiah." Okay. I had to throw that in there. I will never strike anybody in the face. No violence. There's going to be no news in the paper. Pastor catches a charge. No. Pastor's not catching a charge. Not at all. But nonetheless, Here's the man of God slapping people around because they did not adhere to the things of God. So, therefore, our speech is governed by Him when we submit to Him. Our speech belongs to Him. And let our speech always be correct, so outsiders who don't know God won't have anything to say against us. Amen, church. Amen. You know, I really wanted to get through this today. I believe I have been speaking for close to 45 minutes now. I'm looking at my list here, and I think I'm going to continue next week. I think that's best. Amen, church. Praise God. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Your presence, Lord, right now, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, to worship You, Lord, to separate, Lord, ourselves from all the influences, Lord, that surround us, to separate ourselves, Lord, from the media, from the news, from the negativity, from all the things, Lord, that are toxic to our minds. And we want to be, Lord, separated in every aspect of life, Lord, in all that You have instructed us to do. We want to be Yours, Lord. We want to be that peculiar people, separated, Lord, to You, for You, Lord. Lord, right now I pray that You can help us, Lord, to start the separation process. May we not, Lord, confine to our influences, or even, Lord, to our carnal flesh and our minds. But may, Lord, we train ourselves and renew ourselves, Lord, and You daily, on a daily basis. Lord, I pray that You will start the work, Lord, as early as tonight. Start the good work, Lord, that You promised. Lord, I bless Your holy name. We bless Your holy name, Lord, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to say one thing before you cut the live stream. I meant to make this announcement this morning.